pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Reverend Winston will now give the sermon.
Good morning, CCC. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for having me. Let me pray as we come to God's word. Our loving and great Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We pray, God, that you would draw near to us. Please, God, remove any hardness that is in our hearts as we come to your word. Speak to us, O Lord. Give us soft hearts that are willing to hear and keen to obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you're a morning person or a night person. I'm more of a night person. And if I've had a late night and I sleep in the next morning, my son will quietly get himself ready. But if I'm sleeping in too long, he'll come to our bed and quietly say, Daddy, I'm hungry. Or Mummy, I'm hungry. Now, if I ignore him and I keep trying to sleep in, those words become louder and more frequent. Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry. Eventually, I wake up and I say, good morning, hungry. I'm Winston. At first, you'll have a laugh, but here's my first parenting tip to all of you CCC parents out there. Don't keep doing that to your kid when he's actually really hungry. That's a quick way to embitter your child. So from their perspective, this is not a joke. They have a genuine problem. They're hungry, they're being neglected, and what they really want isn't a joke. What they really want is understanding and care. In the beginning of Acts 6, there's a problem of hunger and neglect in the church. And there are some important lessons for us to learn from the way that the early church deals with this problem. So first of all, let's have a look at what the problem actually is so we can understand the issues. In verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So at this stage in the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem is still very young. It's probably only a month or two old, but it has grown quite rapidly. If you've followed the numbers in the book of Acts so far, it's gone from 120 to 3,000 to 5,000. And probably because of that rapid growth, one of the byproducts is this problem that has arisen. In Acts 4, verse 34, it says that there were no needy persons among them. But now here in Acts 6, because of all that growth, the number of disciples was increasing. There is this problem of this food issue that we're about to investigate. It's not just merely a problem of the way that food is distributed, but what has happened is that two different culture groups have come together in this church. There's the Greek Jews and there's the Hebrew Jews. These two different culture groups have come together because now that they've become Christians, they're trying to be one community. And it was, what happened was, it was the widows of the Greek Jews who were being left out and neglected in regards to the distribution of food. And the word that's used here is overlooked. In other words, they weren't being noticed. They weren't being given the attention that they should have been given. They were neglected. Now, there is an issue that is in almost all churches. I don't really know how much of an issue it is here at CCC because I haven't been around you guys for very long, but I suspect, considering the size of CCC, the different language groups, the different services, the different age groups, I'm almost certain that CCC has this issue. It's the issue of cliques. How much of an issue? Well, it's too early for me to tell, but it's almost certainly an issue at CCC if that's my best guess, right? From what you guys, the size and the diversity of CCC. Now, cliques are not all bad. Cliques normally form quite naturally around people of the same age, similar backgrounds, similar likes, people coming together because they're similar, have similar backgrounds, right? And they form a friendship group. And that's a good thing because friendship groups are a place to belong and a place where we can receive mutual support and help and care. But there is a danger that we must always stay on top of. And that's when cliques in our church become too tight, if they become exclusive and too inward looking, then the problems will arise out of those tight cliques that will play itself out in the church community. For instance, it can make it really hard for a new person who comes to the church. It's really hard for them to fit in and belong when they can't break into these tight cliques. They'll feel left out and neglected and alone. And sometimes cliques in a church can lead to jealousy and even division. And what we have in Acts chapter 6 are the early signs of division. Two cliques have formed. One clique, the Greek Jews, have brought a complaint to the leaders against another clique, the Hebrew Jews. The Greeks were not happy because their widows were being overlooked. Now, Pastor Ying's titled our series, The Unstoppable Mission of God. And really, one of the very great weapons Satan uses to stop the mission of the church going forth is division. Satan loves to divide the church and its members, and it loves causing leaders to argue and fight, and because they want the time and energy of the people to be, you know, putting out fires and trying to settle arguments. And the more time and energy that they spend doing that, the less time they spend on the mission of God. And so this is a great danger that has starting to arise in the early church. So how does the early church handle this problem? Have a look there in verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of God, ministry of the word of God, in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." So what the leaders did was they gathered the whole church community together. They brought the problem out into the open. They didn't want this division to keep festering, so they brought it out into the open. And the whole church was given the task of choosing 7 men who would be responsible for then distributing the food fairly. And notice the seven qualities of the qualities of these seven men that they were meant to have. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Not good at logistics, not good at waitering, but full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You see, the problem in the church was not just about the even distribution of food, but it was a problem that threatened the unity of the church, which, as I mentioned, threatened the mission of God. The apostles knew that the way the community cares for each other was really, really important. It was important for the unity of the church, and it was important for the mission of God through the church. You can almost picture the people on the outside grinning with their teeth and saying, yeah, right. You know, Jesus taught love and he taught compassion, but look at the church. They can't even look after their own widows. So this is really a significant issue. When the world on the outside looks at the church, they see division, they see that they can't care for each other well. That is a negative, it's a negative picture of God's people and a negative witness to the world. So it was important that the apostles said, let's pick the very best people that we can to do this job. It's so important. Seven men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So that's what they do. They choose seven men full of the Spirit and wisdom, and they bring them to the apostles. The apostles commission these seven men and set them apart to do this very important work. And you notice the names of the seven people that were chosen. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. Now, they're Greek names. And I think it's very intentional that the people, the community, the church community chose these seven Greek people to do this job, because who was overlooked? It was the Greek widows were overlooked. So I think what has happened here, it was the Hebrew Christians who realized actually what we've done in neglecting the Greek widows was not good. Yet we've messed up. And what we need to do now is that we need to be generous, and we need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We need to make sure that we allow the Greek Christians to take leadership in this responsibility so that their widows, their side of things, is going to be taken care of properly and they're going to be looked after well. And we want to help that happen. So this cross-cultural ministry has happened where one side has graciously given, let go of control and given the other side leadership and responsibility so that they can be cared for. And it's worked both ways. And the Greeks, well, they've taken responsibility and now they will help the whole church be looked after fairly. So this is an example of the majority intentionally letting go of control, bending over backwards to ensure that the minority are cared for, not overlooked, and the unity of the church is not threatened and restored. The way that a church unites and cares for each other is a witness to the world around us. But the other thing that I mentioned already is that when the members of a church are caring well for each other, it actually helps the church focus and get on with the task of mission. And that's why the apostles said to the people in verse 2, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. When I was a student at SMBC, the principal at that time David Cook had a favorite saying. He would say it in his sermons. He would say it in lectures. He would say it when he was chatting with students casually. And he would say it at graduation ceremonies. He would say it all the time. And this is what he used to often say. He said, the main thing is that the main thing remain the main thing. As you go out into the mission field, as you go out and work in churches, or even if you go back as Christians into the secular work, the main thing needs to stay the main thing. And the main thing is to proclaim Christ, is to preach the gospel. And he used to hammer that all the time so that you had no doubts when you left college that you need to stick to the main thing of preaching Christ. There are a lot of social problems that need fixing in this world. There are addiction problems, crime problems, mental health problems, unemployment, homelessness, environmental problems, racial injustice, all things which the church should care about and we should try and help. But we need to be careful that we prioritize the main thing, that we put our time and energy on the main thing. And what the apostles said to the early church is that they needed to make sure that the ministry of the word remains the main thing. Now, what is the ministry of the word? Well, it's the teaching and preaching and proclamation of the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all people. Now, all churches, including CCC, have a finite amount of resources, people, time, finances, facilities. And we need to make sure that we utilize our resources in a way that achieves the mission that God has given us. And that mission is to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. We must prioritize our time, our finances, our facilities in ways that help us remain focused and effective in making disciples, in proclaiming Christ to the world so that more people can enter into a relationship with God and they then can become a part of God's growing mission. As members of God's church, never forget what we are primarily on about. As much as we are able and as much as God has gifted us to do so, let us proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the world around us. Let me share something that might sound a little selfish of me at first, but actually I think it's good for the whole church. One of the greatest pressures of pastoral leadership, it's not so much pressure from the outside, but it's pressure from within the church. It's the pressure to respond to the expectations that people have on a pastor. And I've often felt this pressure. And sadly, I know of pastors who have dropped out of the ministry because of the constant pressure of people's unrealistic expectations of what they should do. They want their pastors to be able to do everything for them, to meet all of their different needs. And I put it to you that what we have in Acts 6 is a healthier way of doing church. It's really a healthy way of how a church can work together to help keep the main thing the main thing, where the members of the church are sharing in the work of caring for all the various needs of the people and uniting the church together so that the pastors, the leaders, the preachers and teachers and the elders, the deacons, we can be freed up to give the very best of our time and our energy to the ministry of the word, to the proclamation of the good news. And look what happens in the church when that, look at the result of what happens when we see that happening. Verse 7, the result is this. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. What happened? The word of God spread. When the church members shared the load, when they shared in the work, it freed up the leaders to prioritize the ministry of the word and prayer. And what happens when the ministry of the word is prioritized? It spreads. It spreads, and it goes on to say there that the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. The church was able to achieve its core mission, the great purpose that Jesus gave to it, the great commission of making more disciples. And this is what we would all love to see happen at CCC as well, wouldn't we? We would love CCC making more disciples. The question is, what part can you play in helping this happen? How can you share in the work of the church? How can you be of service? How can, what needs do you see in the church where you can help? And are you paying attention to the people outside of your clique? People perhaps who are being left out, people who need care, people who are on the edge perhaps of leaving church. On the church website, and Ying mentioned this quite a number of times during the announcements, is a vision statement. One community, growing in Christ, serving with love, reaching the world with the gospel. When you think about it, the vision of CCC looks like the church in Acts 6. A church that worked together to overcome cultural differences. They truly lived out Christ's command to love one another. And in so doing, they were able to grow in their unity, one community, and they were better able to proclaim the gospel to the world around them. One community, growing in Christ, serving with love, reaching the world with the gospel. It is a vision of a church united and working together to make disciples of Jesus. So let me ask you, how much do you own that vision? How are you giving your time and your energy to helping that vision become a reality? A greater and greater reality. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the number of disciples at CCC increasing rapidly? Disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And as more and more disciples are made, so the word of God spreads and spreads and spreads. And we achieve what our vision wants to see, reaching the world with the gospel. Now, for that to happen, it takes more than a handful of motivated leaders. It takes the whole church. It takes all of us using the gifts God has given us, whether it's caring, administration, hospitality, evangelism, preaching, teaching, music, singing. We all have a part to play. some of us will be on the front line, or you know, at the front, preaching and proclaiming the gospel. We all have a role to play engaging with our friends. And we all have a role to play in sharing the work of the church, freeing up the leaders, the preachers and teachers, so that they can focus on the ministry of the word. We all have a part to play in achieving what we want our vision to achieve. How are you playing your part? It could be that you don't know how you can help, what you can do, what part you can play. One of the first steps I would encourage you to make if you're one of those people is talk to Pastor Ying or to any other leader in the church that you trust, and just simply ask them, how can I help? I want to be of service. I want to be a part of the vision. How can I help? So CCC, let's all think about what part we can play. How can we help CCC become one community who is growing more and more effective in reaching the world with the gospel? What part can we play to help see that happen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what we have seen happen in Acts chapter 6, where there was a potential problem in the church that threatened to divide the church and to take their eyes off the mission line. Father, we know that that is always a danger in every church, and that's a danger in CCC. Satan wants to use division to take our time and energy away from the mission that God have given us. So please, Father, help us, Lord, to unite and to come together to play our part. Help us, Lord, to free up as many people that we can to proclaim Christ to the world. Help us to play our part in proclaiming Christ to our friends, to engage, to invite them to church. Lord, we long for your word to spread to more and more people. We long to see CCC be a place where, you know, the number of disciples is increasing rapidly. Father, we pray for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. Please forgive us when our eyes have been distracted, have been taken away from the mission. Father, help us to know what part we can play, how we can work together to see the name of Christ praised and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.